have your Bibles tonight, we're going to look in the book of Ruth, chapter number 3 this evening. Ruth, chapter number 3. I'll ask you if you will stand to your feet as we read a few verses of Scripture tonight. Book of Ruth, chapter number 3. We'll begin reading in the first verse of Ruth, chapter 3. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth with barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, All that thou sayest unto me, I will do. And she went down under the floor, and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly, and uncovered his feet, and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid, and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said, Blessed be thou the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning. Inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of the kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down unto the morning. And she lay at his feet until morning. And she arose up before one could know another. And he said, Let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. Also he said, Bring the veil that thou hast had upon thee, and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley, and laid it on her. And she went into the city. And when she had came to her mother-in-law, she said, Who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, These 6 measures of barley gave he me. For he said to me, Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Then said she, Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. When we look at Ruth chapter number 3, we see Ruth going into the threshing floor, uncovering the feet of Boaz, her kinsman redeemer, and we see that she asks him that he would spread therefore his skirt or his wings, under his wings, what time? Over her, amen? And so Boaz is a picture of a kinsman redeemer. He's a picture of Jesus Christ. And when I look in this text tonight, this makes me think this thought. Looking for rest at Jesus' feet. Looking for rest at Jesus' feet. I just feel like tonight there's somebody you're looking for rest. You're looking for a place that you can truly trust and rest. And you'll find that place at Jesus' feet. Father, would you help us tonight to study the Word? I pray, Lord, you'd help us tonight, Father. Show us truths, Father, that not yet discovered. Help us tonight, God, to examine this, apply it to our hearts and lives, that we might grow thereby. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to meet tonight. And for this, I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, Amen. Now, I trust that you're familiar somewhat with the story of Ruth. We know that Elimelech, his name means my God is king, and Naomi, they take their children Mahlon and Chilion, and they go down to land of Moab because there is famine in the land of Bethlehem, Judah. Elimelech was just going down there for a little while. That was his intention. But when he got down there, he stayed too long. That's what sin will do to you. And he died in that land. The Bible says that his wife and his two boys, they stayed 10 more years. And the boys got married, and then both boys died. When we look now, we're seeing down in the land of Moab, we're seeing three graves and three widow women. The Bible says that Naomi told Orpah that you need to stay with your people. Ruth, you need to stay with your people. And Ruth said, I'm going to go where you go. You're going to be my God. Entreat me not to leave you or forsake you. And Orpah gave a kiss to her mother-in-law and went back. We know that Ruth comes home with Naomi to the land of Bethlehem, Judah. And when they get there, the Bible says at the end of chapter 1, verse 22, the Bible says when they got there, it was the beginning of the barley harvest. They had heard that God would visit his people and was given bread, and they go back home to the land of Bethlehem, Judah. We also know that for someone who was, there are four qualifications, for someone who's poor, for someone who is a widow, for someone who is a stranger, for someone who is fatherless, they're allowed to glean in the corners of the field. May I just point out that Ruth is qualified in all four areas. She is poor, she is a widow, she is a stranger in that land, and she is considered to be fatherless where she lives. The Bible says in chapter 2 that Ruth said to Naomi, let me now go to the field. In other words, for chapter 1, she said, entreat me not to leave you. In chapter 2, she says, let me go out into the field and glean ears of corn. So here she is. Her hap was to go in the field of Boaz. And when Boaz saw her, he made this statement. He said, whose damsel is this? He did not say, who is she? He said, whose damsel is this? Who does she belong to? The Bible tells us that he let handfuls of purpose drop just for her. Then we come to chapter number 3 that we read tonight. Boaz is now out in the field. He is harvesting. Remember when Ruth got there? It was the beginning of the barley harvest. Now it's the ending of the barley harvest. Boaz is out harvesting. He's winnowing the barley. And we see him when he's finished, he lays down there in the field by some of the corn shocks. He lays there, and the Bible says that Ruth came and laid at his feet. Number one, I want us to think about the fact we see the resolve of Ruth. Now, this is Ruth. She's been talking. She's been trying. She's been making effort. But something happens between chapter 2 and chapter 3 that things change. My mind went to this. Why didn't Ruth get at Boaz's feet in chapter 2? Why didn't she get at Boaz's feet when she first met him? When she was invited to go back to the house as a guest? Why didn't she get at his feet? Why is she now getting at his feet in chapter 3? There's something happened that's very important. Look at the close of chapter 2 and look at verse 23. The scripture says, so she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and wheat harvest and dwelt with her mother-in-law. You see, in chapter 2, Ruth was able to work. Ruth was able to provide for herself by going out to the field to glean. And even though handfuls of purpose are being dropped for her, she's able to get out and work. Now it's the end of the harvest. There's no more going into the field. There's nothing she can do to produce anything. She cannot provide for herself. I'm talking to somebody tonight. You're well able. You're able-bodied. You're strong. You're trying to be a Christian. You're giving all this effort. You're trying to live this Christian life. All you're doing is putting forth effort and ability with your ability. But something happened to Ruth. No longer can she go and work in the field because the barley harvest is over. So she is told that the best thing she can do is get to the feet of Boaz. He can do for her what she cannot do for herself. And I'm saying to you tonight, you've tried to fix this, you've tried to restructure it, you have wrestled it, and I'm telling you the best thing you can do is just decide, I am going to get the feet of Jesus. He's the only one that can fix it. He's the only one that can control it. I'm going to get at Jesus' feet. Now, I just want to point something out to you in chapter 3, verse 1. Look at what Naomi said to her. This is huge. Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee? You see, Naomi realizes that Ruth is not at rest. She is toiling. She is burdened. She is carrying a load. I'm talking to you tonight. Somebody here, you are carrying a load. I don't know what it is that's hanging over you right now, but you are not at rest. You are trying with your ability, and you're doing the best you can, but you feel like you just can't get there. Can I get a witness? You just can't get there in your own ability, and you never will. Naomi says, girl, we are looking for rest for you. Look at the end of the chapter, last verse. Then said she, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. She's turning her work. She's turning her burden. She's turning her load over to Boaz. Now Boaz is going to be the one that doesn't have rest. Boaz is going to be the one out getting to work. What about that, right? Listen, not a thing she needs to do. She's just rested. She's turned it over to him, and if anything gets done, it'll be on Boaz's part. Do you see that? So let me say this right now, okay? You've got to get to the end of your ability and get to his feet, and God's going to give you a new beginning with this load that you carry. It's going to be different than it's ever been. Listen, many of you do not know about trusting and resting in the Lord. You're always trying to do something to produce righteousness. You're always trying to do something, turning over a new leaf, trying to do it by yourself. But only when you get to the end of your ability and get to Jesus' feet will you really find rest. Amen. Naomi, in verses 1 through 5, tells Ruth, girl, you need to take off your old grave clothes and you need to put on some grace clothes. You need to wash. You need to cleanse yourself. And Boaz is down there winnowing barley tonight, and you need to get down there to where he is. She advises her, you need to make sure that you lay down, uncover his feet and lay thee down. I want you to see a couple things here about the resolve of Ruth. Look at her submission. She is well aware of the significance of this meeting. Boaz is harvesting. He is winnowing the barley. And after he does, he rests. This winnowing the barley is a picture of Jesus on the cross. This threshing floor where the barley is being crushed, where it's fanned into the wind, where the grain is being separated from the husk. It's being crushed and beaten. That's Jesus up on the cross. That's Jesus. There he is being crushed under the weight of our sin. And the Bible says that the chaff is blown away. Our sins are blown away. Thanks be unto God for it. Jesus at the threshing floor, amen, where we might get saved. Also, the Bible says when Boaz had eaten and drunk, his heart was merry. Hey, Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Thank God for our heavenly Boaz, amen. She marked the place where Boaz rested. He had finished his work. He had eaten and drunk. His heart was merry, and he laid him down to sleep. She had been watching secretly. And when he lays down and he goes to rest, the Bible says at verse number seven, the Bible says, she came in softly, and she uncovered his feet and laid her down. She entered his presence. Look what she did. She didn't speak a word. She made no noise. She made no demands. A lot of times that's what we do. She came in quietly, and she just waited on him. Best thing you'll do is come in humbly, submitting yourself to the Lord God Almighty. We're in no position to make any demands of Almighty God. Look at her supplication in verse number 8. There she was. She's laying at his feet. And at midnight, the Bible says, as Boaz turns himself, he discovers and finds Ruth at his feet. And he asks in verse 9, "Who art thou?" She said, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." This was an act of proposal. She is saying to him, you're a near kinsman. Will you be my redeemer? Many of us, we're trying to do this on our own. You're trying to be a Christian. You're trying to be a better person. But I'm going to tell you, the best thing you're ever going to do is you're going to have to get at Jesus' feet and lay this thing down, amen? Listen to me for a second. As long as she is working in her own ability, Boaz is her protector. He's watching over her. He said, none of the young men are to touch you. He's a protector. But he's not her partner as long as she's working. As long as you're doing this by yourself, he'll be your protector. But he'll never be your partner until you spend time at Jesus' feet. Now go a little further. Boaz was a comforter to her, always giving her handfuls of purpose. What a blessing that was. But he will never be her companion till she gets at his feet. Boaz is going to be her helper. But until she spends time at his feet, he'll never be her husband. Think about that for a minute. Boaz, we see not only the response, not only the request of Ruth, hear her resolve, but I want you to look at the response of Boaz. Now remember, he had asked earlier, whose depths was this? In other words, he's wanting to know who's the rightful owner. Who's her daddy? Is she married? What's going on there? That's an interesting question. But when Ruth came to Bethlehem, she doesn't really have a father, doesn't really have a mother. She doesn't have a husband for sure. She just belongs to herself. Till you come to the end of yourself, you're not going to find real blessedness. She belongs to herself. She's providing for herself. She feels like she's able-bodied. She's working. She's able to get out and meet the task. Look in verse number 10. He said, "Blessed be thou the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed me more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not the young men, whether rich, whether poor or rich. Now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." When she came, she was Ruth the Moabitess. She was not allowed to come amongst the congregation to the 10th generation. Boaz did not reject her. He received her. She uncovered his feet and laid there, and he received her. All those that come to Jesus, he will in no wise cast out. Thanks be unto God for it. The law says she couldn't come, but grace says she can. Hey, where sin abounded, grace doth much more abound. Thank God for it, amen. Now, she's called a virtuous woman. He's seen beyond her faults, do you see? Listen to his promise, verse 12. He says, "It's true. I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Preacher Darren, what does that mean? There's someone that's closer related to her that has a responsibility. He would have to say no before Boaz can step in. Preacher Darren, who is that near kinsman? I believe it's probably the law. The law, if you keep the law, listen, you can't keep the law. The law points out your sin. The law cannot save you. There's no way. The law could not do for you what Boaz could do. Amen? No way it could get there. Some people may say, "Preacher Darren, I believe it's the flesh." Honey, the flesh can't save you. You can't be saved by baptism. You can't be saved by your good works. You can't be saved by your good tithing record, by your good Sunday school attendance. Honey, your flesh cannot save you, and the law cannot save you. Amen? Boaz says, there's a near kinsman, verse 13, "Tarry this night, And it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well. But if he won't, then I will do the part of the kinsman of thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning. Boaz assured her that this will be taken care of. And you know what Ruth did? She rested at his feet in his promises. She didn't get up. She didn't walk away. She didn't make any noise. She stayed right there in that place. Boaz has made her a promise. Look with me at the provision. In verse 14, she laid at his feet until the morning. Nothing was wrong about what she was doing there. And she got up. She arose before anyone could know. He said, let it not be known that a woman came to the floor. He did not want to ruin her reputation. He wanted her to stay. He wanted Ruth, don't say a word. I don't want people gossiping about this. Look at the provision, verse 15. Bring the veil that thou hast with thee and hold it. Now, nowadays, these girls get married. They have a veil about them. And, Lord, you take that little old veil that they have, and it's so frivolous. I mean, it wouldn't hold anything. But now I want you all to watch this. The veil that they had was an entire outer garment. It was huge. He said, bring the veil and hold it. She takes the veil that she has and she holds it. And the Bible says, he measured, how many measures of barley? We'll see if you're awake. Six. Why not seven? Because the marriage is not complete yet. Six. Saying this thing's about to be done, but it's not quite yet done yet. Six measures of barley. And look what the scripture says. I like this, is my favorite part. You ought to underline this in your Bible. He laid it on her. He laid it on her. He laid a blessing on her. Six measures of barley. You know how much that is? That's over 80 pounds of barley that he laid on her. He's going to make sure that she doesn't go back empty. He's making sure, saying, listen, girl, this is a down payment on the marriage we're about to be taken up in. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, get this. All this time, she had been working in the field, working, and finally said, lay down handfuls of purpose, right? In other words, if they're working there reaping and something falls on the ground, they're not allowed to pick it up. You know, it's supposed to go to the foreigners and the poor and the fatherless and the strangers. And so can you see them there working? And said, oops. I like when God says, oops, and just drops you a blessing, right? And she'd have to go pick it up. She'd have to go glean it. She'd have to go glean it, pick it up. But now watch this. Now she's spending time. She's laid down at Boaz's feet. And he gives her 80 pounds of grain. She got more. She didn't have to work for it. She got more at his feet than she did working in the corners of the field. Preacher, that just don't make sense to me. Ain't God good? He's so good you can't explain it, amen. We'll get more, honey, you'll get more blessing at Jesus' feet than you will anywhere else. But here's the thing. She had to get the end of herself. She had no father, no mother, right? She just belongs to herself. But now that she can't produce for herself anymore and she gets at his feet, now she has more than she ever had. Well, hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, you need rest. And you think, well, I've got to do work and work and work, then I'll get rest. No, honey, it don't work that way. You got to quit talking. You got to quit trying. You got to get to trusting. And when you get to trusting, amen, then you get to the end of yourself and you watch what he is going to do for you. Amen. Thirdly, and I'll be done, there is the reward of God. Now, Boaz has certainly shown his intention with promise and provisions. Ruth, no doubt with 80 pounds of grain, has not left his presence empty. Honey, there'll never be a time if you're around God that you'll leave his presence empty. You remember when Naomi, she went out full and she said, I've come back empty. She looks so destitute and so in despair, all her friends and neighbors says, who is this? Is this Naomi, the pleasant one who went out full and now she's come home empty? Well, now here's Ruth. She's went to Boaz's feet, and honey, she ain't coming back empty. She's coming back full. In fact, watch this. Oh, I like this. Let's look at verse 16. She got 80 pounds of grain, right? When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? Preacher Darren, doesn't she recognize her? Let me just put it in modern-day language. She's seen Ruth come in with a glow on her face. She's seen Ruth come in with 80 pounds of grain, blessed beyond measure. She looks at her and she says, ooh, girl, who are you? Are you Ruth the Moabitess, or are you the future Mrs. Boaz? Who are you, girl? Where you been, girl? What's that smile on your face? What's this load of blessings that you're carrying around, amen? And she says, these 6 measures of barley gave he to me, for he said, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. These are the last recorded words of Naomi. She said, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished this thing this day. Naomi's not heard from again necessarily. Now, this is her last words, chapter 3. We've heard Ruth's last words as well. Did you know I can look through chapter number 1 and I see Ruth speaking, entreat me not to leave you. I see her speaking oftentimes in verse chapter number 2. We see her speaking in chapter number 3 saying, do the part of a kinsman redeemer for me. But did you know in chapter 4, she doesn't speak again. She's quit. She's quit talking. She's quit trying. And she's went to trusting. And all of that was found at Boaz's feet. Jesus is our Boaz. Just look for me with us for a second in chapter 4 at the reward of God. In chapter 4, Boaz goes down to the gate. He's looking for that kinsman redeemer. He says to that kinsman redeemer, says, hey, Naomi has put her land for sale. You remember Elimelech, our brother, who's died down there in Moab, and Mahlon and Chilion, they put their land for sale. You're a near redeemer. Do you want to buy it? And the redeemer said, yeah, I do, man. That's beautiful property. What an excellent opportunity for me and my family. Yeah. Thank you for telling me. We're going to buy it. He said, well, wait, just one thing. When you do, you also get a wife. What? Yeah, you get Ruth the Moabitess too. When you purchase this property, you also get Ruth the Moabitess. A Moabitess. A Moabitess that can't come amongst the congregation for 10 generations. A Moabitess that represents sin and the flesh. A wicked Moabitess. Oh, he says, well, I can't do it then. I can't do it. I'm already married. If I marry Ruth the Moabitess, that's going to mess me up. If I marry a Moabitess girl, it's going to mar my own inheritance. It's going to tarnish my reputation. I mean, people are going to start gossiping, talking about me. So he took off his shoe, and he said, here, I'm laying down my rights and my authority to redeem that, and I'm transferring the opportunity to you. Boaz says, perfect. That's just what I was waiting for. I like it. Chapter 4, I want us to read here. The Bible says in verse 9, Boaz said, Preacher Darren, did he really take off his shoe? Look at verse 8. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's, all that was Chilion's and all Mahlon's of the and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife. Preacher Darren, you're going to make me mad. You can't purchase a wife. Jesus said that you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. You've got to get to the end of yourself and the end of your ability and know He's your Lord. That means He's your owner. He asked the question when he first saw her, whose damsel is this? Who's her owner? Who does she belong to? Bless God, she's soon going to belong to me. Don't you know that he went home after he did it? He did this publicly. Oh, wow. Thank you, Lord. What a blessing. Look with me again. Luke, look at this, son. I love to show you things in the Word of God. Look, this is beautiful. Look at verse 9. He said, I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. You know what? Listen to this. Did you know, son, that he paid such a price that if Orpha had been there, she could have got in on it too? Jesus paid the price for every sinner to be saved. If they're not saved, it's not his fault. He already paid the price. You rejected it. Orpha kissed it and walked away. Judas kissed it and walked away. How many people have been in church and kissed it and walked away? There it is right there in the Word of God. Do you see it? The choice was theirs, amen? Now, here's the thing. If you want to be blessed of God, your blessing comes when you lay at Jesus' feet. When you are looking for rest at Jesus' feet, you will get it. Hear me. If you think now that you're blessed and you're saved and now you're going to go off on your own again, you're going to start doing your own things and running your own life again, there's no blessedness there. I've already shown you there's more blessing at Jesus' feet trusting than there is with me off trying. Why do we do it? I do not know. We think we can help God along oftentimes. I don't understand it. Now, I just want to point this out. One thing more. In chapter 4, Ruth never speaks again. Preacher, what happened? She's now trusting her Boaz to take care of the needs in her life. She is not heard from, though she is active and attending presently. She is trusting Boaz to complete the transaction, and it happens. In fact, in this chapter, you know who the focus is? It's Boaz. And when Jesus becomes your focus, things begin to change in your life for the better. The reason you're so focused on your problems is you have a self problem. It's always about me and my problems, and I focus on myself and what I'm going through and what my family is enduring. But when you focus on Boaz, when you focus on Jesus, when you spend time at his feet, honey, the focus on him, you'll become fruitful. The Bible says, look with me, the Bible says that she had a child. The Bible says, look, verse 13, Boaz took Ruth, she was his wife, and when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. When you get at Jesus' feet, he'll make the church fruitful. Verse 17, the women, her neighbors, gave it a name saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Can't just imagine, I can see little Obed growing up there in the home of Boaz and Ruth, running through the house, and there on the mantle was an old shoe. Mama, why is that old shoe up there? I said, oh, honey, that's a love story. What? Oh, yes. There's a love story that we want to take that down. We don't like that. That's unsightly. That getting at Jesus' feet business. That's gross. That grosses me out. I don't really want to be there. She says, honey, let me explain to you that you'll find more at Jesus' feet than you will anywhere else. He'll make you blessed. He'll make you fruitful. And I'm telling you, you are never going to have a new beginning until you first have an ending of yourself. And that old shoe has everything to do with the fact that there wouldn't be a King David had there not been an Obed born in the home of Boaz and Ruth. Thank God for somebody who said, I am just going to get down at Jesus' feet. You and I are going to remain to be fruitless until Jesus becomes the focal point. Anybody got a nickel? Anybody got a nickel? I need a nickel. I should have prepared better. This just comes to my mind. I need a nickel. Number five is a number of grace. I need a nickel. Somebody throw me a nickel. Let me borrow a nickel. I don't want a quarter. I don't want a dime. Thank you, honey. A nickel. Hallelujah. Back in the old days, there was a little boy who come into the store, had a nickel in his hand. And as he came in with a nickel in his hand, he said to the man in the store, he said, sir, how much candy can I get for a nickel? He held up a jar of candy and he said, son, you'll get a whole handful of candy for a nickel. That sounds good. He laid his nickel down and he took off down the street. Come up here, son. Come on, right now. Get that nickel. How much can you get for a nickel? A handful of candy. I want you to go get Andy. Go get him. Go get him. Get him. Get him. Little boy come back in the store and he said, mister, you said I could get a handful of candy for a nickel? Daddy, put your hand in there. Put your hand out, brother. Put your hand out. Look how much bigger his hand is than this boy's hand is. Thank you, son. You realize how much bigger your Heavenly Father's hand is than your hand is? When Jesus becomes your focal point. You see, will y'all hear me for a second? I'm going to get tore up. It's not about how eloquently you sing. It's not about who the preacher is. If our preacher is the focal point of this church, we've got a problem. If our choir leader or the members of this choir or our singers are the focal point of this church, we've got a problem. Bethel, if you'll come to the end of Bethel and say, Jesus, we want you to be the focal point of our lives. He'll do in the ministry what you could never do. You want to see growth in your physical life? You'll see such growth, you will have room for it. You want to see growth in the church? We'll have such growth, we won't have room for it. Our problem is we want to be the focal point. We want to be the big eye. It has to be. Can I give this to him? It pays to serve Jesus. Amen. Thank y'all. I'm telling you, let Jesus have his way in your life. God is fixing it to get you to a place that you can't produce for yourself. Well, I'll believe it when I get to retirement. Anybody here retired and you found out that you still find that you're trying to do and make ends meet and struggle along the way and you're worried and you're conflicted and you're burdened? Can I get a witness, retired people? It didn't really change. In fact, it got heavier because now you can't do what you once did. But I'm just telling you, there is something about trusting him, laying at his feet and just saying, God, there is not one thing I can do. I can't fix it. I have nothing to offer. Lord, what good am I at all? Lord, if you don't help me, what hope is there for me? And that's what he says. Hold out the veil. And he lays about 80 pounds of blessing on you. And you get to go out of here. And people say, man, you look awful happy. Well, God come by today. I've been at the feet of my heavenly Boaz. And look, looky, looky, looky. Looky what he's done for me. He's blessed me beyond measure. Lord, have mercy, son. Where did you get all that? You ain't going to believe it if I told you. Where'd you get it? Laying at Jesus' feet. Look for me at Jesus' feet. That's where we need to be. Amen. You stand to your feet. I'm done. Is anybody you feel led? You bow your heads tonight. Anybody you feel led to say, you know what, preacher? I've got to get to the end of me. There is something in my life I've tried to fix. Something in my family, it's going on, and we are frustrated. We're trying to fix it. We've been carrying a load. Oh, man, it's been so bad. Think I'm going to take you up on that advice, preacher. Think I'm just going to get at the feet of my Jesus, and I'm going to lay my troubles down, and I'm going to tell him, Lord, I'm conflicted about so many things. Lord, I am needing rest, and I believe I'll find it at Jesus' feet, and I'm looking for it, Lord, and here I come. I'm bowing myself at the feet of Jesus. Right now, would you come? We're going to pray. Anybody else, you need to come right now. Father, as we bow in your presence tonight, Lord, there are people that need rest. Lord, we're tired of trying. We're tired of struggling in our human effort that is so feeble and so exhausting. God, there's nothing that we can do to provide or to produce for ourselves. God, tonight, you know it, I am at the end of my ability. I cannot do it. So, Lord, I bow in your presence. And I say, Lord, would you do the part of the kinsman, God, in our lives, and help us, God. Lord, where we find the end of our ability, the end of the ownership of ourselves, God, is where we start to find the beginning of the blessedness and the fruitfulness of Almighty God. Lord, tonight, thank you for allowing us this opportunity just to spend time at your feet, just for a little while. And Lord, from this moment, we're leaving tonight trusting you to take care of the need. Just as my daddy's hands are bigger than mine, Lord, your hands in this situation are able to solve and able to do what we could never do. So Lord, you're the focal point. We turn this over to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.